grind.
Alright, where are you going? Here, okay?
Grind.
Oh my god.
Not coming in, I figured it, man.
Good job, buddy. The Hunt for Answers. The Ugly Pike Podcast.
All right, welcome back to the Ugly Pike Podcast on the Outdoor Journal Radio Podcast Network. Frank, it's been a while since we've had a Full Moon Friday, and today we have plenty to dive into, and we're going to catch up on many things, what Ugly Pike has been up to the last few weeks. And plus, we have a special call-in guest joining us this episode, so stick around for that, obviously, listeners. Before we get into that, a word from our sponsors. Today's episode is proudly brought to you by Canada's only specialized pike and muskie shop, Izoco. Head over to izocofishing.com and check out all of the amazing hand-picked top-quality gear they have to offer. This episode is also proudly brought to you by Angling Sports, based in London, Ontario, and serving customers throughout Canada and the northern U.S. With over 30 years of unmatched angler support, they offer top-tier fishing products catering to every skill level. Explore their offerings at anglingsports.ca and gear up for an unparalleled fishing experience. So, Frank, where do you want to start? And welcome back.
I don't know because, thanks. Yeah, you know what? I don't even know where to start because we were just chatting about stuff we're going to go over. And then, like, in the 2 seconds it takes you to introduce our sponsors, my brain goes to 5 things that I think I want to talk about when it comes to
I haven't had a chance, and I know maybe some people don't want to hear this, some people do, but I'd love to just talk quickly about UFC 300 because we've wanted to talk about it like 2 or 3 times now. We've never had the chance. Are you okay with that, or you want to skip it?
Yeah, no, let's touch on it quickly because we've had some chats. It was epic. And let's touch on it. And then we got to talk about beer too, real quick. I want to mention some things, but yeah, let's start with fights.
Yeah. I mean, like, I just want to get your thoughts, right? Cause I obviously incredibly deep, like probably the deepest card we're ever going to see. I mean, maybe in our lifetime, I don't know if they'll ever put something like that together again, but the irony of the whole thing was, you know, everybody I think is on the same page that it just seemed to fall flat after Holloway and Gaethje finished their fight, like everything after that. I mean, I guess when Yan went to sleep and then got saved by the bell, that was a bit interesting, but that was something unique. I've never seen that, like with two title fights following a fight that they still never really made it to that epic level of just entertainment that Max and Gaethje did. So, and then I just wanted to get your opinion on Gaethje because everybody's really, you know, obviously like blown away with what Max did, but I just give all this credit to Gaethje for the fact that he was the one who had no business going in the center of that circle. Like he was just getting so beat up and the fact that in that situation, he still said, all right, let's do it. You know, like, I don't see many fighters doing that. I give that guy so much credit. He's one of my favorite fighters. And then it just, you know, obviously created one of the most epic moments in UFC history. So that's my 2 cents on the main card. If you want, we could talk about the undercard too. But what do you think?
No, let's just keep it to the main card because I think the two fights of note were just so epic. I didn't... To be quite honest, I was disappointed when I saw it was Holloway against Gaethje. I just felt like Holloway was a little, you know, past his prime, punch drunk. I don't know. It's just something about him. I don't know what I just don't love about him. I like him.
Three losses to Volk, and it was like everybody just assumed he was done, right? Like he tried 3 times.
I think so. Yeah, and then Gaethje in those years had some real epic fights that he actually even came out on top of. And so I thought it was going to be a walkover and holy shit. I mean, is that the greatest knockout in UFC history? It probably is.
It's up there. It is up there. Yeah. I mean, for what was on the line and for the event like that, there wasn't a bigger stage ever.
I think that's it. I think you nailed it. I think it's for the event at 300. Like I think about like Lyoto Machida's his front kick knockout to, I think that was Vitor. I think of Uriah Hall's spin kick knockout against, I think it was Trishan, whatever his last name was. And then Pete Sell had an awesome knockout where, this was about 10 years ago maybe, where he got a hit to the liver and he's buckled over and he's backpedaling, buckled over to the cage. And the guy comes in to finish him off and he throws a punch and knocks the guy out and then falls on the canvas and dies. Because if you've ever been hit with a liver shot, I have.
Yeah.
Your life is over for 30 seconds. You cannot draw oxygen and you feel like you're going to die. So that's just kind of quickly what comes to my mind.
Connor Aldo. Usman, that was that KO, that kick.
Yeah.
And that was that was epic.
But just the whole, let's do this right now, center of the ring, 1 second, crumbles him. Fucking crazy, man.
Crazy. Yeah, great, great, great. And then we have some really good fights coming up. So we'll have some more to talk about with what's coming up in June and July. Connor's obviously back on a card. That's huge. Some big fights coming up.
Yeah, he'll lose. I mean, for a million reasons, I think. But the main event, just watching the when he got the groin strike and he calls the ref off. Yeah. It's like no. He steps up and knocks the guy.
That was pretty savage. Yeah,
I really like him. It's cool. You know, there's no heavyweight division anymore, right? So like these guys got to step up. There's no Conor anymore, at least not like he used to be. There's no Ronda lover or hater, but these big personalities. I think the UFC is kind of looking for the next one. Maybe they thought it was going to be Paddy the Batty, but.
Well, they're
looking for their superstars, right?
All these Dagestani fighters that are dominating, they're very humble and they're very like quiet, you know, they're not outspoken, they're not trying to get attention and they're kicking ass. So, yeah, they don't have that anymore, that Conor style. There's even Bo Nickel, he's great, but he doesn't have that star personality.
Wrestler.
Yeah, he's a wrestler. And
yeah, it's going to be really tough to see a wrestler become a superstar. It's just too much nuance. And it's just not all exciting, right? It is for me. It's not exciting for a lot of people, though.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was okay.
Pretty cool.
Muskie Odyssey.
So the Muskie Odyssey happened. Our booth looked amazing. Thanks to Ange and Pete and the team over at Outdoor Journal Radio Podcast Network convincing us to get these booths. They just look awesome.
We have our mobile set up shop now.
Yeah. It's really great. It just looks amazing. And I got to tell you, Chris, the meat, people went nuts for the meat. My wife goes nuts for it. Like,
my mom loves it.
Like,
yeah.
this is a legit good product, and I have the highest hopes for it. We've had some lodge owners reach out to us saying it's the perfect item to include in their American plan lunches, and it is, with all the protein. But the number one comment I'm getting, Chris, because I'm sampling this, is all over the place, and we did at the Odyssey like crazy. I don't even know how many packs I opened, but people say like it doesn't taste like a pepperette. It tastes like you're eating a real meat product. And that's exactly what we went for. We didn't want that preservative. Yeah. And so, you know, there's no steroids or antibiotics or anything like that in it. And so it really shows Robbie and the team over at Norcini completely outdid themselves. And so did you with the label. This is going to drop. Product will be available at the end of May. We'll throw it up on our e-commerce site. And I think, Chris, what we are going to do is offer a free shipping over X number of dollars that you spend. Yeah. And trust me, guys and girls, you don't buy one pack because you're going to crush one pack and go, I wish I had more. So you might as well, you know, buy a bunch of it, get a cost savings, and we'll throw the shipping in for free. But it's amazing. The beer went over really well, Chris. But we got to tell the listeners that the recipe that we had at the Odyssey has been changed. And you know what? Everyone loved the beer. And don't get me wrong, it was a great beer. Personally, I wanted it lighter, crisper, less grainy, you know. So that's what we did. And I was at our brewery, Newark Brewing, in Beamsville, which, by the way, you can get our Ugly Pike Last Like Lager on tap right now in their tap room. So we're not available for retail yet. We won't be for about another 3.5 weeks. But you can, if you're in the region, go over there and sit down and ask for one. But, you know, when I was there and we were sample tasting different recipes and batches and stuff with them, I tasted one batch and I said to them, this is the best light beer I've ever had in my life. So long story short, we made a deal with them to get that recipe. And that recipe will be our last light lager. And it's the best light beer I've ever had. It is to light lager what our Pilsner was to Pilsners. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just break the mold, drinkable. And I think if you're out there and you love the Bud Light, the Miller Light, the Coors Light, this is going to be something that you're going to absolutely love. And I love it. I'm trying not to drink it. I don't drink a lot, as you know, but I love it. You're going to love, Chris. I can't wait for you to taste these things.
Yeah, man. I talked to my dad and he gave us a great profile of it. And I think he shared all of the same comments that you're saying now. So, yeah, I can't wait.
You know what, Chris? Really can't wait. He was as enthusiastic and using the same sort of words he was when he first reviewed the Pilsner for us.
Yeah.
And so I'm the first recipe, he wasn't as enthusiastic, you know, he was trying to be nice, but you know what, we hit it out of the park with this one again. And these two products I think are going to be great. We've got Ugly Pike apparel finally coming for everybody who's been asking us for 6 years. We've got hats coming. They'll be on our website by the end of May for purchase. Shirts might be a little longer, but they're definitely coming. I've been meeting with my guy Tim over at Campus Crew, and they're putting together some awesome shirts for us. So, you know what? Everybody wanted swag. They're going to get it. The Bucktails, we're going to test them all summer, throw them up at the end of the summer. I think that's going to be a timeline for that. So,
which we still haven't, still haven't released what they are yet. Still.
Nah, we'll wait. We'll wait, for that.
So I wanted to ask one thing about the Musky Odyssey also. How did that swap table go? Did you stick around for that? Did you bring stuff and did you come out with like stuff that you were happy with, or was it just a shit show?
It was a shit show from my perspective because I was so tired from just doing what I had to do.
Cutting samples?
Pouring beers. And I went over there and I was just like, you know what? I had enough of talking and this, and that. So I didn't participate. By all accounts, it was rocking. It looked awesome. It was well organized and I'm sure people made out well. I also decided to keep some of the lures I thought I wanted to part with. I was talked into keeping them. Got my Rover bait. That's what I went to that show to get. See Landry get my Rover bait. So I'm super happy with that. I have a feeling I'll be buying 10 more by the third week of the season. The show was amazing. And, you know, Landry's booth, it was new. He did really well. He was one of the booths that had a big lineup. We had the show had its cohort of overnight campers, as they usually do. Those guys and girls are diehards lining up for different baits, you know. But the show was really great. It was what they really did well this time was they really added a social dynamic. And so there were lots of opportunities for you to socialize there and have fun. And the way that the venue was, that everything was all in one place. Everything was in the actual, you know, hotel and conference center. I thought it was really good. I thought it went really well. Bit of curveball at the end where the president, Ryan Pickering, the vice president, Ryan Fagundo, stepped down out of their roles, which kind of has sent shockwaves through the Musky world. And I know we've been getting a lot of emails for people asking us to talk about this, but sorry, Chris. You know,
I was just going to jump and say we've been hit with some emails about the subject, and then you said the same sentence. So I was just going to jump in about that. So yeah, we're well aware of what the situation is, but continue. Sorry.
Yeah, no, it's okay. I was hanging out with Ryan just the other night, and we didn't really chat very much about it, to be honest. You know, I think to the listeners, we're just, this is just, the wounds are fresh, and I think we're just going to let the situation play out and see how it goes. You know, you've got Muskies Canada, and you've got these ex guys that were, you know, significant driving forces with the organization. We're going to see how it all plays out. It's to me, I'm sad. You know what I mean? I just feel like my parents got divorced. Actually, I wasn't this sad when my parents got divorced.
Well, one I was thing okay to say about, I mean, what I know about Ryan, it was extremely dedicated and hardworking and passionate. Yeah. And we had, I think, was it like just 2 weeks before the Odyssey, we had him and Peter on, and they were just both, you know, you could just feel how what a driving force those two guys were or are in the community. So, you know.
Yeah. Best of luck to them for whatever they do or do not have in store in the future. Who knows? But you know what? The season's, you know, early opener is just over a month away. So we've booked our trip to the Rideau. I'm super excited. Let's move on from the Odyssey. I think that's about all we can really say. I can get into the vendors and this, that, and the other, but we've got our guests in the green room. I can see them. And should we pipe them in? Is there anything else you and I have to chat about before?
Well, I think we want to announce something, but I think it might be better to announce that with our guest. Yeah, that makes sense. And I think that was it in terms of pre-discussion before we talk to this gentleman.
What brings people together more than fishing and hunting?
How about food?
I'm Chef Antonio Maleca, and I have spent years catering to the stars. Now, on Outdoor Journal Radio's Eat and Wild podcast, Luigi Hookset and I are bringing our expertise
and Rolodex to our real passion, the outdoors.
Each week, we're bringing you inside the boat, tree stand, or duck blind and giving you real advice that you can use to make the most out of your fishing game.
You're going to flip that duck breast over once you get a nice hard sear on that breast. You don't want to sear the actual meat.
And it's not just us chatting here. If you can name a celebrity, we've probably worked with them. And I think you might be surprised who likes to hunt and fish.
When Kit Harrington asks me to prepare him sashimi with his bass, I couldn't say no.
Whatever Taylor Sheridan wanted, I made sure I had it.
Burgers, steak, anything off the barbecue. That's a true cowboy.
All Jeremy Renner wanted to have was lemon ginger shots all day.
Find Eating Wild now on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever else you get your podcasts.
Do you know the name of Canada's one and only specialized pike and muskie shop? It's Izoco, and it's an Esox angler's paradise, offering the very best in hand-picked, top-quality gear, from bait casting to fly fishing, and even specialized Scandinavian tackle. Izoco's staff will provide expert advice and top-quality service. But Izoco is more than just a store. It's a community of passionate anglers that make up the Izoco tribe, and they're always ready to share tips, swap stories. So head over to their shop in person or online at izocofishing.com and let Izoco turn those fishing trips into epic stories. No matter what species you love to target, from boot to headlamp, Angling Sports has what you need. Their store is massive, and it's just loaded with equipment and apparel. So if you love to go after those big toothy critters like we do, it's a one-stop shop for all pike and muskie tackle. Whether you're looking for trolling rods or casting reels, Angling Sports is always adding the latest and best industry offerings from entry level to higher end. Looking for custom muskie baits? They got them. It's worth the drive to London, so check out their amazing store in person or online by visiting anglingsports.ca and net that PB in style.
So calling in, we have from our sponsor, Angling Sports, we have co-owners John, is it Vinen?
Yeah, it's Vinen.
John Vinen and Cole, unless you're like Cher and you don't have a last name, I don't know your last name. Or are you just
Bailey.
Cole Bailey. All right.
Nice. That's a hockey name.
Welcome to the show, you guys.
Yeah.
cool. Right on. So, Chris, I had the pleasure of meeting these two young, enterprising gentleman. I went up to Angling Sports in London. We had lunch. We went through the whole store. And it was, first of all, the store is amazing, guys. That's no secret to anybody in the fishing world. You know, and then we've had some great ideas. So, Chris, we've got to announce some things we're doing with Angling Sports. We want to talk about fishing with them because these are two super hardcore anglers, not just guys who own a business. So what would you like to do, Chris? Where should we start?
I'm with you. I mean, super excited to talk to you guys. I'm on your website all the time. And a funny story, I have a good buddy who's based in Kitchener, and he sends me receipts all the time from your we found out that you were partners of our show, and then he's like, oh, look at this receipt, it's like $1,000. He's like, I love the store. Whenever I go, it's like I can't stop spending. So I know what that feels like when you go in. Yeah. When guys like us go, girls like us with that mindset, going to stores like yours, it's just a kid in a candy store, right? There's just something there, and you got a smile on your face, and then you got to make sure you don't hurt the wallet too much. But amazing website too that you have.
Thank you. Yeah, we do our best. We try. The goal for us is to kind of cater to everybody.
Yeah,
not just one thing. That's why.
Yeah. When you come, very diverse.
Yeah, you come to the store. We literally try to have everything. And if we don't have it, if we find out we don't have something, we usually both like right away, who makes it? Where is it from? We get on the horn and try to get that in there, because I don't like when people leave the store and they don't find what they want. I want everyone to find whatever they want at the store, one shop stop type.
Can I ask you how would that evolve? How this evolved for you two guys? Is this something that was been a life passion for you? And
oh boy,
you bought the store. Yeah,
it's a funny story.
Is it in the family? Is it something that you started from scratch? I think that it'd be great for people to hear the story.
Yeah. No, the store's been around for, 49 years now?
Oh, it's been around for a while. Yeah, like back years. Early 90s. I think we are the fourth set of owners, I think. We'd be the fourth set of owners, because the prior owner to us that we bought it from, he had it for 10 or 11 years, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
and then I would say, like, I never really planned on owning a fishing store. I don't think Cole ever really did either.
Somewhat. Yeah. I mean, I've worked at Angling Sports since April 2013, right after I graduated high school. I had the opportunity. I went down to Florida, fished a bunch of FLW tournaments as a co-angler for 3 months, I think it was. And then when I came back, the store had changed locations to where we are now, and I walked in and got a job on the spot. So that was, it's been life ever since then. April 2013, been nothing but Angling Sports.
Yeah. And then I guess funny story how we met, we kind of heard each other through, I guess, the tournament world. I'm 7 years older than you, I guess.
I think so. Yeah.
I kind of heard him when he was up and coming. And at the time, one of my best friends lived with me, who worked with his best friend. And we actually met at a Halloween party. And how'd it go? You know it better than I can't remember.
Yeah, those two, their buddies, my buddy and his buddy, they got to lipping off about who was the better tournament fisherman. And then nice. I got a call from my buddy Ben, and he goes, hey, do you know this guy John Vinan? And I was like, yeah, I know who he is. And he goes, well, him and his buddy Dan, we're going to go fish a tournament against them. And then rather than go fish a tournament against each other, we decided to go party on Halloween instead.
Yeah.
And then just kind of kept in touch after that, started fishing some tournaments together. I think we won our very first tournament that we fished together, so that always helps the cause. And just kind of grew from there. And then a couple of ideas later, it was originally we thought that I was going to leave Angling Sports and we'd start our own online store, but we decided it's probably going to be a better route to try and build an online platform off an already reputable business. So my the old owner Pat, he's an old school Italian guy, and he's a businessman through and through. So he's the right price, everything's for sale. So we approached him that way, and he was ready to retire, and he sold us the business. So rest is history.
Nice. It's a funny story.
Very cool. And I think it goes without saying, correct me if I'm wrong, guys, but you guys took the musky section of this store and brought it to a whole nother level. I mean, you must have.
Yeah. I don't think it, I mean, yeah.
Before it was, you know, had the basics, you had some bulldogs and a couple of, you know, musky mayhem cowgirls and whatnot. But, that was pretty much the extent of it. Few believers,
yeah.
A couple of Jakes.
Yeah, it was almost like the easy stuff to get. Yeah,
just the basic stuff. So, you know, we started to see a trend in that facet of our business, and we decided, you know what? These guys don't mind spending money, and they seem to really love the custom, cool, one-off type things. So we branched into it. We started looking at, you know, how we could expand it, what brands we could get into, and went down to the Muskie show in Chicago the 1 year, and that's when we really started to make the connections and get some of these cool small-time brands that are hard to get.
Yeah, and that produced, too. You know, I was really excited to see Warhammers in your store. Obviously, we know Todd, Chris, and I, we sponsor Unleash the Beast, but, you know, the proof is in the pudding. Last year at Unleash the Beast, there was a ridiculous amount of fish caught on that lure.
Yeah,
and they're not always easy to find. Todd, you know, Todd does his best. He works hard, but yeah, it's tough sometimes to accommodate. So you go to Angling Sports or at the online store, and you've got Warhammers, you've got Red October baits, you've got lots of stuff besides you. I mean, you guys have
great lots baits. Of chaos.
Yeah, we got, and then we know it. We got new stuff. We're working on some new stuff right now that I don't want to let out of the bag, but there's going to be a couple more. One big swim bait brand we're hoping to land.
I know who that is because we talked about it at lunch, right?
Yeah.
Hopefully, fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. A couple new blades. A couple more trolling baits, crank baits. I mean, you saw the store. We just kind of finished flipping it, and I just found another 15 feet of real estate to fill. So,
yeah, there's definitely still some holes. Definitely a few baits that we can fill those voids with. That's for sure.
I got to paint a picture, Chris, because when you walk into Angling Sports, and there's a reel on our Instagram page, if anyone wants to check it out, and it was kind of my adventure at Angling Sports, but there's stuff everywhere. Chris, I don't know if this ever happens to you, but I almost don't want to look up when I walk in the store, especially as I'm walking to the musky section, because I know I'm going to take a beating in the musky section. So I keep my head looking down. I don't want to see the, you know, last time I did this, a Takoda caught my eye, and I walked out with a Takoda, which I don't regret buying. It's awesome. But, you know, you don't want to take a beating on your way to the musky section, because when you get there, you're going to want to buy everything. And I'm at the musky section, and I look up and I see the Sims shoes on the back wall, and I'm like, don't go over there. Like, we recorded a commercial for Angling Sports that, you know, runs during our show. And I say from boot to headlamp, I mean it. You guys have everything there. And the store is packed, but it's just packed with great stuff. It's just you don't get the generic cookie cutter bullshit lures that no real hardcore musky angler either wants or bought 15 years ago and has in their box already. Right. That's to me is the key, I think.
Yeah,
definitely. The guys, they love that custom stuff. Anytime they can get their hands on custom stuff, they're all about that.
I like going down the rabbit hole. Like when you go into those type of stores and you start talking to a salesman there, especially, or a saleswoman, someone who knows like the industry inside and out, and then you just asking a question about one item, and then it leads to another. Before you know it, you're just fully decked out with everything, and you're like, oh my God, what have I done? I've just put all this into the basket, and I can't say which one I want to let go. I got to buy it all. And that's just, you know, like, I think you have those type of experts, even on your website. It's really interesting how you can actually help make some of those decisions before you even get to the store. You have like an ask an expert thing, and you can go in and try to like figure out what type of fishing reel, even how to size certain things, which takes away some of the guesswork if you're doing stuff online. But I imagine if you come into the store, you're even get a much more in-depth discussion with one of you guys like yourself about the exact product you need, because let's face it, not everybody comes in and knows exactly what they want, right? They're there to learn also, right? And ask for your expertise. Where am I going wrong? Here's an issue I'm having. Can you give me a piece of technology or a piece of equipment that's going to fix that, or it's going to be the best suited for my body frame? So yeah, I always get down, get sucked into that rabbit hole, and I just love it because it's just a conversation. It ends up being a conversation for 30, 40 minutes about fishing. And what's wrong with that?
Right? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no. Time goes by when, you know, you're talking to like-minded individuals, right? You got something in common. It's easy to carry on a conversation when you share the same interest.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, one of the biggest reasons why, I mean, we bought the store was I was a machinist for 15 years. And it was just like waking up every morning, you know, and I was working for family, but it was still, I wasn't happy. And now it's like, I don't even call this work. Like I come to work, I stock some shell, I get to talk fishing, I get to talk to like-minded people, like guys love fishing. And you know, you're right, Chris, you go story for story. And next, you know, 40 minutes goes by and, you know, we sell a couple of things, and I hope the customers learn a couple of things from us as well. And I hope everyone's successful too when they leave the store.
Yeah, that's the biggest key for us. We want you to be successful. Like all our guys, everyone that works here, we're all hardcore, and everybody kind of specializes in their own facet of fishing, right? Like, we're not all just bass guys or steelheaders or musky guys. Everybody does a little bit of everything here. That way we can touch up on all the stuff.
So you just quickly, really Frank, great. I want to jump in one more thing. Like you mentioned about always trying to provide the latest. Like, so what's that process like? Researching that to find out what are the newest technologies and what you want to bring to the store that you feel is going to be the best product for the customers, because there's obviously infinite amount of stuff you can bring into that store, but what's that process like of research like for you guys in terms of how you want to bring the right custom or the right technology into the store?
I think it's a couple things. One is, you know, we try to get to, I mean, unfortunately we keep missing that Muskie Odyssey. Are going to make it next year. Cause we have other obligations always that are in the States that same weekend, but like going to Chicago,
that was a big one.
That was a big one. Medieval. Yeah. And you know, listening to customers when a customer comes in, like Dave Gray, you guys know Dave Gray pretty well. You know, I've known that guy for 15, 20 years now. He's a pretty good buddy of mine. And when he comes in, he's like, Vinan, you don't have this. And it's just like, just listen to what he says.
Yeah. Okay. That's one of the big ones.
You know, Frank helped us out. He's like, you know, you should try these crappie. Well, who's that? Never heard of that brand. You know, because there's a lot of these musky guys are mom and pop shops that sell these lures. Yeah. So it's not like they're on magazines or they're on TV all the time. You kind of just word of mouth and you listen to what's successful and what colors work well. And you know, for us, listening's the big thing, I think, for me. And then obviously going to the shows is the second big thing, building relationships with these mom and pop. Because now I've been rejected before we had this. I mean, before this section, I went 1 year getting rejected from Chaos Tackle. Took me a while to build a relationship with Toddy. Now me and Toddy, you know, we have a pretty good relationship. We talk, you know, quite a bit. You know, seems to be
that's
working.
That's definitely what I think another big takeaway we've learned with the musky stuff. You have to build relationships with these smaller companies that everybody's after, because, like, for us, it was an eye-opener, right? We've never been turned down to order product in before, right? Usually you reach out to somebody and they're like, yeah, absolutely. They're all about it. But trying to get some of these niche musky products, it was a bit of a chase. So, you know, we persevered. We made the right connections, got in contact with the right people, and had some good words put in for us. And that really helped the cause. But yeah, it's definitely the biggest one. Like John said, you got to listen to your customers, especially the ones that are there day, you know, every week. Those guys will actually tell you what you're missing out on and stuff that you need to bring in. So that's a big one for us. And then I would say making the relationships with the smaller companies was number two. But then the third one, you just kind of got to go after and get it yourself. You gotta constantly be, you know, when you're sitting at home at night instead of watching TV, maybe go on the internet and just start best musky brands or most sought after swim baits for musky fishing. You just start Googling and go down a bit of a rabbit hole to find brands that other stores aren't carrying, or brands that you constantly see people mentioning their names online on social media, you name it.
I think
the big three for us, how we go about getting the product in the store for the musky section.
Nice.
I think what you're going to find is that, like, I know historically, Chris, I talked to, you know, we know so many bait builders, and they're not always looking to do business with retail for whatever reason. But I think the more you guys aspire to be a different kind of store that truly curates its inventory to the market, then I think you're going to see these small businesses a lot more eager to do business with you. So I think if just getting into a generic big box store, the way that there's not much of a relationship, it's just not how we operate as anglers, you know, mm-hmm. whether we're bait makers or we own stores or Chris, we're purchasers. This is about the people and about the relationships. And I think we hope that with our association with you, that the community is going to realize that this is not just a store that sells stuff. This is a store that's looking to curate and sell the stuff that we're looking for and that we can't always even find. So you guys are really breaking the mold. My hat's off to you guys. And Chris, should we say the best thing about their website right now that we know?
Go ahead. You know
what the best thing is about their website?
Special code.
Everything is 15% off if you use the code UGLY15. And that's for everything, right, guys? Not just musky stuff?
Yeah, that's for everything, store-wide.
Unbelievable. So, guys, if you want jackets, wet boots,
reels, rods,
you know, reels, rods, anything, 15% off to the end.
Name it.
Yeah, you name it. You name it is right. Runs till the end of June. So, guys and girls, as you guys are looking to add to your inventory, this is going to be the best deal in town. Go to the website. Or even just over the counter, as our buddy Siege just did from the Eatin' Wild podcast. I know you're listening, Siege. He said ugly 10. I don't know how the code worked, but it's ugly 15. Don't sell yourself short, guys.
You said over the counter. Yeah. Is it? I thought it was e-commerce only. They can do it in the store?
Yeah, you know what? It was e-commerce only, but apparently it worked all weekend. Yeah, so, well, I think it was one of Frank's buddies came to the till, and he said ugly 10, and one of my guys punched it in and it worked. So, yeah, it's in store as well.
Chris, I didn't tell you that part, that Siege from the Eating Wild podcast sent me a picture of a receipt. I'm like, what is this? He's like, I just saved money. Thank you. And I'm like, okay, great. So John and I were talking yesterday on the phone. I said, hey, you had your first sale. And he's like, no, we didn't. I'm like, yeah, you did. He goes, no, we didn't. And I'm like, here's the picture. He goes, that's a receipt from our store. So happy ending.
Yeah, it worked. Right. In store now too.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Beautiful, beautiful. Yeah, very cool, very cool. Chris, while we're on the topic, go ahead.
No,
you go ahead.
You want to stay on the topic? Go ahead. I was going to go a different route. So,
well, we're gonna have to mention the other thing we have with Angling Sports. Yeah. Whether that's now or later, it doesn't matter.
Let's do it now because we're on the topic of savings. So,
right,
this is, more than just 15%.
Yeah. So, look, it's Tuesday. This episode airs on this week on Friday. So, I believe by then this will either be live or it won't be live shortly after. But we have a contest brewing with Angling Sports. It's an unbelievable giveaway. Chris, we asked them for X. They gave us XYZ plus.
Yeah.
And this is an absolute whopper. So it's a contest. You guys are going to see it all over our social media. You'll see it at Angling Sports social media. You'll see it on Fishing Canada social media. That's how epic this is. And gents, why don't you let us know what you guys are donated for this giveaway? Because it blew my mind.
Absolutely. We're giving away a little musky prize package. We got a nice Chaos SWAT assault stick. We got a Daiwa 400 Lexa HD, some Barbarian braid, and throw in some lures there. So guys,
lures. Lures. When did that happen? That's news to me. What the hell?
We'll throw in a couple of chunks of plastic.
Cole wanted to swindle in some plastic.
Yeah, we'll throw a couple chunks of plastic. That way, these guys got something to throw and catch some fish with.
So your whole musky kit is, you win this and you are ready to catch a musky.
You can go fishing. Absolutely. That's like I said, when you leave the store, I want you to be successful and ready to go fishing. That's what we wanted. Cole's like, one thing we're missing are lures.
We can't just get you the rod, reel, and line. We gotta have something that you can catch some fish with.
Holy cow. Hey, send me what those are so we can let our guys know, and we can put that in the literature that goes out. But
can we,
Chris, what do you think? Chris, are you going to enter?
Well, I mean, I'm just doing the math. I mean, that's got to be close to $1,000 you're giving away. So that's a huge haul, whoever wins that. Of course I'd love to enter, but I mean, legally, am I allowed to? I mean, why not, right? Probably not.
I don't think so. We're just joking, everybody. Don't worry. We're not going to win this.
I think you guys should know something. If Frank enters, he'll probably win it, because every draft guy goes in, he wins. So don't let him enter, because somehow he'll walk away with it.
We will leave this to our listeners, our well-deserved listeners. This is going to be just great. So, and you know what? I just want to say something to our multi-species angler listeners who have joined us. Once we've got a ton of them now, Chris, as you know, through our affiliation with the TV show, that coupon code, again, you can get anything for whatever style of fish you want, and you can call in and talk to their experts, and it'll really make your day. So this is an epic contest. Stay tuned. We'll have everything on social media. You'll get sick of seeing it. We're going to blast it so much. And we're super thankful to our partners for this. It's they went above and beyond, Chris.
Yeah, it's clear. And the rod, I have not used one of those. So, you know, I'm really excited at some point to have one of those. Buy one of those rods, the Chaos Assault Stick. I've only had the St. Croix in my. So I hear nothing but great things about them. I'm going to be making a trip to your store in the summer.
They're not bad. Absolutely.
Yeah, we'll go up, guys. We'll have Chris and I, when he's back in town, we'll have lunch and chit chat. It'll be a good time.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Awesome. Awesome.
Okay.
Go ahead, Chris.
So I wanted to ask you guys this question because it's something that, you know, you can answer that I would never be able to answer, but being located in London, right? You're kind of like halfway to between Lake Erie and Lake Huron. And then you're kind of like a little bit further, but kind of in the middle of that in Ontario. You're kind of like right in that zone and then you got Lake St. Clair on the other side. Where do you find most of your anglers are coming from to take product from you? Are they taking that product and going to Lake Erie, to Lake Huron, to Lake Ontario?
It's pretty diverse, honestly.
Very diverse.
We're kind of the biggest hub there, just, you know, past the GTA and between Windsor, between the borders, between Sarnia and Windsor and GTA. So we get a little bit of everything, honestly. Like, we get the Lake Ontario salmon trolling guys. You get all the Detroit River, St. Clair River jigging guys. Everybody trolling Erie for steelhead and walleye, whether that be Central Basin, Western Basin, down towards, you know, Colchester and Kingsville and all that. You get Huron all the way up to Georgian Bay and whatnot. St. Clair, you get Thames River running right through here, trips.
The fly anglers and the float reels and all that coming in for the tank.
A lot of
steelheading guys.
Because we're like, what, 45, 50 minutes from the mainland.
Yeah.
You know, you got Eastern Basin's recent trip ones. Then you get the cottage guys, you know, everyone that lives around London and in west and southwest, southeast of us, that are going through to the cottages.
Yeah, cottages in the Kawarthas, Bancroft, Kingston area, you name it. It blows you away how diverse this area is. Everybody goes all over the place for whatever type of fishing they like to do. So, honestly, if we had to break it down into one thing, our biggest facet of our business would be the Great Lakes market, right? Would be between Erie, St. Clair, Huron, and Ontario would be the biggest market for us.
And if I were to ask you, what would you consider your home waters? How would you answer that?
Depends what species.
From St. Clair?
Yeah.
Most of our guys, yeah. We get St. Clair guys. We do get a few Erie guys that starting to
Muskie's getting more popular.
A little more popular there. Not as many guys used to do it, but there's a few people starting up there. And then the other one we get is the Kawartha guys. Kawartha guys, we get a few guys going up north, Nipissing, Lake of the Woods, even Laxool and all that. But that's nothing compared to what we see guys going to St. Clair.
St. Clair's probably our biggest muskie one for sure. St. Clair, Detroit River, jigging for muskie in the fall, but I'd say St. Clair.
Yeah, for sure.
Big John, did you say something to me the other day about downsizing on St. Clair? Was that a conversation you and I had?
Yeah, I was texting or emailed you, I think. Yeah. That's like we started muskie fishing St. Clair a couple of years ago as we bring, like, when you're bringing product in, and it's like bringing it in is one thing, but then we start seeing it all, like, you know, I really want to go use this. I want to go fish muskie now. And then as bass guys, like we were fishing bass, like we catch a lot of muskie bass fishing.
Yeah.
So when I was saying downsizing, we'd do a bass tournament, you know, catch four or five muskie in a tournament on St. Clair. Then I'd go out the following week and we'd go muskie fishing. And one thing bringing in would be the forward-facing sonar, because we have that on our boat. So when we're throwing the cowgirls or the bulldogs and whatnot, we're seeing a lot of muskie chasing our baits to the boat. But that's a big thing on St. Clair. They'll chase you in the summertime, but they don't usually commit, or maybe every 1 in 10 will commit.
Yeah, on a figure eight. And then the water's so clean out there.
And then you can't see them. So with the forward-facing sonar, I'd watch them come up to the boat, chase me. Well, I'd get back on them. And what we tried was I'd pick up I rigged up a drop shot rig, but with like a 7 or 8 inch fluke style bait, and pitch it out to them. And they started eating it. They would hit it. And you'd see them 20, 30 feet from the boat versus like when you get a follow up, you do the figure eight and then, you know, they leave. You don't really see them. Well, I'd pick them up on the sonar now and I could still see them. So then I could work that fish again, and you know, they started hitting it. They started eating the smaller bait. So we started doing that in the summertime.
Yeah, legitimately power shotting
last year, and it was pretty crazy how effective it was.
Yeah, yeah. And it's honestly the biggest thing that keyed us in on downsizing was our bass fishing, right? Because you out on St. Clair at times it's unavoidable, right? You get these big congregations of boats, and it's everybody. You got perch in an area, so you got all the perch guys fishing. Then there's bass there because of the perch, so you got all the guys bass fishing around them. And the next thing you know, muskie are there. You got all the muskie guys there, so everybody's kind of in an area. And then you see people at the boat ramp at the end of the day, and you talk to muskie guys, and it's like they're like, it was pretty tough. And it's like, well, what were you throwing? And they're telling you, oh, we were throwing double tens or pounders and stuff. And it's only mid-July. And it's like, well, hold on here. I mean, we hooked 5 muskie today on 3-inch tube jigs. So either you're fishing way too far above them or you're fishing way too big of a bait. So we start downsizing because of that when we started our muskie fishing out there. And it works, man. I mean, obviously throwing the big baits in the fall and that, but those early summer fish... Yeah. Like 4-inch crankbaits, and they're all over, right? Chris, you don't have to throw giant stuff.
Chris, we've heard this. I think I could be wrong. I think Larry Ramsell said this. I think Pat Tryon said this. By the way, Chris, I hung out with Pat Tryon at the Odyssey. I forgot to mention that, too. It was great to see him. We've had a bunch of guys say this on the show. Joe Booker maybe even said it
way back
in the day.
Yeah. I love that.
Definitely worked.
I love that tip because, you know, 99% of muskie anglers, once that, you know, that honest figure eight is completed, the next cast is out, right? And you're talking about a whole different dynamic now. Now you're pitching maybe 10, 15 feet in front of you and you're having success. I'm not doing that. I'm throwing my line right back out there.
No, That's a niche deal, right? Yeah. Like you've only really ever been able to start doing that since the invention of forward facing, which some guys agree with and some guys don't. I mean, we have our own opinions on it because we've had to use it fishing bass tournaments. If you don't use it, you're getting your teeth kicked in. So we translated it over to the muskie fishing stuff, and man, it works. But I can definitely see why guys don't like it. But I mean, if you got it on your boat, definitely try that on St. Clair, that power shotting deal, because it works. And you fish a heavy drop shot weight too, and then it just rips right by them. And they're all over it because a lot of what they're eating out there, right, is that 7-8 inch shad, gizzard shad. Perch. You got all the perch, right? It's that's their big forage base out there. So that early summer program to midsummer program, it definitely works. And it's not something that a lot of people are doing. And those fish are starting to get pressured out there. They're getting their heads beat in all summer long, all season long. That forward facing shows you how smart those fish are getting, because they will follow that bait in. And if there is just something off about it, the way it's swimming, no dice. They're not going to touch it regardless of what you do. So it's definitely something different that guys could try exploring and see whether they have success too.
Oh, that's a great insight though. I mean, that's just really valuable information to have. And yeah, I mean, it's not like you're chasing the fish with the sonar. You're just like observing the fact that if you brought it to the boat and it hasn't taken off, it's just kind of like in the vicinity and you're taking advantage of that opportunity. Yeah, yeah. That's, you know, that's, I see that as perfectly. I mean, I totally agree with that technique and I think it's great insight.
Yeah. The other thing you'll notice, I mean, if you guys have it, like, how many muskie will actually follow you from, you know, 30, 40 feet out and don't touch your bait or don't come to the boat? Like, it'll hurt your feelings.
You know, Sean, I almost just said, I almost don't want to know, you know,
you don't want to, like, hurts your feelings.
Or how long they will sit directly under your boat after they followed it in.
Oh, like, no kidding, eh?
Yeah.
5 minutes. Sit there.
You'll do a figure eight and you think that fish swam away. We've been looking out, where the hell's this fish? And you could see him on the graph. He would literally be like under the hull of the boat, just sitting there, not moving, not chasing your baits anymore. He's just sitting. I don't know. I'm not too sure. I haven't quite figured out what they're doing down there.
What we've heard from a lot of really good anglers that have utilized this technology, it's not about using it to catch the fish. It's more for them about learning the behavior of the fish. Like what you're just describing. Yeah. They've learned all these new behavioral characteristics that they didn't know. You're just defining a few of them, but that's a tool for them to learn about the behavior of the fish.
Oh yeah. You can see when those fish get all keyed up on there, like, you know, when you're going to get one to react and get it to bite. Like, it's definitely teaches you a lot about how their movements in the water and how they react to things. It's very helpful for learning.
Another thing that we've seen a lot in bass tournaments, like whatever you're fishing for, and you could tell a muskie from a bass or pike or whatever it is, you could tell, is you'll see a school of bait fish 30, 40 feet out on that sonar, and you'll see a muskie underneath that bait ball. And then you'll watch them torpedo through the bait ball. And then there'll be like two or three less shad in that bait ball. It's pretty wild to see that on the ground. Yeah.
Very cool. That's very cool. I don't have a live scope on my boat yet, but I don't know if I will. But I just, you know, we've all had that holy shit, scare the shit out of you moment where the fish seemingly comes out of nowhere or from under the boat and crushes, right? And so I think you guys really described how that happens, right? Like, you never know. You brought in a follow, but you, especially if you're fishing stained water, Chris, or you're up at Sewell or parts of Eagle, you know, Ottawa River, and you bring a fish in, and then, you know, you're casting a different direction because you saw him going in a different direction, and then a few minutes later, you just get slaughtered from, like, out of nowhere. Well, that makes a lot of sense what you guys are saying, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The other thing, too, with St. Clair, one of the biggest, you know, kind of takeaways, guys that don't, you know, they want to come down and fish St. Clair, but they don't have much experience, they got to realize out there, those fish are like pelagics out there. They're not really related to structure. They're pushing bait around. It's a game of covering water out there. You can't just get stuck in an area because it's so current driven out there with the winds and whatnot that, you know, you might catch them a mile west of the Bell River hump one day, and then it blows heavy southwest and pushed all that bait up towards the, you know, kind of eastern shoreline, northeastern shoreline of the lake. And the next thing you know, all those perch that were in that area a day ago have left, and they move 2-3 miles the complete opposite direction. And now you got to go relocate them again. So that's the biggest thing with St. Clair, is that those fish are bait oriented. They're not really relating to too much structure out there. They're like pelagics out there. That's one of the biggest pieces of advice we can give for guys wanting to come down and target muskie on St. Clair.
Awesome. Reminds me of early season on Nipissing too. The fish chasing the hatches, and you know, you're going to have to cover water if you want to find them, because they're not on their traditional structure points. So is this all year long, or is this just during typical size, like times a year for this?
I would say that's more of a, like, from opener through till the end of summer, mid-September, when you start to see the transition where they get into these fall areas, like, and it's predictable year after year, that's, you know, starts in October. But even then, if you think about it too, those fish are following the shad up the Thames or into the Detroit River. So it's still a bait oriented deal, but they're just a lot more predictable that time of the year. There's only certain areas where those bait fish are going to go into based on that time of the year, and those fish follow them. So it's definitely a little more predictable, a little easier to narrow down where you're going to fish in the fall, definitely, for sure. And the fish are bigger. You'll get your heaviest fish that time of the year out there. St. Clair is kind of notorious for great big heads on them and long fish, but not as filled out as what you'd see up on Woods or Sewell or any of those northern fisheries, right? Like, even the Nipissing fish, pound for pound, they'll be heavier. But the St. Clair fish, fall time, they fill out pretty good for sure.
So what I'm taking away from this is, if you have any musky questions and you're in angling sports, directly go to Cole.
Actually, you know what? I'll give it to him. He's better musky fisher than I am. He has landed more than me on St. Clair.
Really good insights. It's a compliment. You really have great knowledge of just the speed, like just your strategy of how to approach the species.
Absolutely.
Very cool.
Trying to think outside the box. That's what we've always had to do that as tournament guys. So it's just carries over into whatever kind of fishing we do.
So guys, before we let you go back to your daily grind, is there anything else about the sport, about what we're doing together, or your store that you guys want to mention to our listeners before we sign off?
I mean, probably just the fact that, you know, let's keep growing this sport. Let's keep educating the consumers of proper practices of how to handle these fish, because it is a fragile fishery. You don't want to abuse it, right? So that's the biggest thing is continuing to educate the consumer base, keep getting people involved in it, and see where we can take this whole ordeal.
Do you have any, like, do you do any, like, events in the summer? Like, you sponsor any events, or you have anything at the shop where you do any, seminars?
Not necessarily in regards to musky fishing, or just in general.
For any listener, like, if they want, if there's
– Oh.
Yeah.
We sponsor the TBBA bass fishing circuit. We do – Port Glasgow Walleye Tournament. We sponsor some other walleye derbies out of Colchester.
Can't forget the Muskie Brawl.
Sponsor the good old Muskie Brawl. Best weekend in November on Lake St. Clair.
That's a tough weekend. Frank might see it this year. Weekend. We've yet to make it to day three fishing.
Yeah, it's
the Saturday night party is just like it's so much fun. And then you, like, I don't know. It's tough to get up Sunday.
War of attrition out there, man. You got to be in shape to handle that ordeal. But we do a little bit of everything. We sponsor steelhead derbies too in the fall and whatnot.
Blue Water Derby, the
Blue Water Anglers Derby. I think that starts next week, if I'm not mistaken.
That's important. Being like, you guys are right in engaging with the fishing community.
Yeah, we always try and give back to the community. We always try and help the people out who, you know, continue to provide a living for us, right?
Yeah, we even sponsored. I think there's all the schools in East London we sponsored a couple of years ago. We bought all the kids water bottles. What did we get? Water bottles, what?
Water bottles.
Buffies, I think.
Some water bottles.
Yeah, like 3,500 water bottles we bought for them. But we're pretty
involved. We always try and stay involved with everything for sure.
Well, that's cool. If you guys, it might be a tough ask, but we're going to have a launch party for our last light lager product in the summer when Chris is down at the brewery in Beamsville. So if Angling Sports can make it down, that would be a great time. We'll call Dave Gray, and it's going to be a party. We're going to see if we can get Ange and Pete there from the show, and it's going to be epic, and we're very excited. Look, listeners, there are so many reasons to buy from a store like this. I think it's important now that everybody knows that the owners of this store are really good, conscientious, and educated anglers. We want to support businesses like this. We're really proud of our partnership with you, and we thank you guys. You know what? Everything you buy is going to be cheaper there for till the end of June with the Ugly 15 coupon code. There's every reason to buy from these guys and support a store that is being built like a store we've all been waiting for. You know, virtually none of us shop at, you know, like a Bass Pro and stuff just because we have a lot of that stuff already. This is a store that is truly curated, and I happen to know some of the things you guys are working on, and some of them were actually even my suggestions, I think. And so it's going to get even better. So support these guys. Go to anglingsports.ca and put in the coupon UGLY15. Look out for the awesome giveaway that we're about to announce. Chris, before we sign off, is there anything else you would like to say?
I guess the question, you know, we always like to ask guests about a fishing story. I was curious if you had a story in the store of some, you know, unnamed customer or something, some wild thing that happened that you want to explain, like, you know, you turn around and someone's behind. I see you guys laughing. So there's got to be something that you could tell us that would be the listeners would get a laugh out of. Or maybe,
You know what? So let me color this for the listeners. John just gave Cole a look like, should I, without even saying a word, should I tell that story?
Not teed up, right? Like, I just came out of left field with this, and I see the reaction.
I didn't tell him, Chris.
So something.
I don't know.
There's been a couple of good ones, I guess. I mean,
like, what do you consider good, though? Like,
good laugh or an interesting story? I don't know.
You guys choose. Yeah, you have like customers that come in and I don't know. It's almost like a lot of new anglers or lack of education, and they're not too sure about fishing, or they think everything should just work. Like I'm not gonna tell Tony. Like, there's some really, maybe we'll have some beers. But this one, like, I can tell this one, like, this customer comes in and he's very upset, and it's like, okay, so you got to try to calm him down. And I'm not the best person to do that, so Cole will do that. But I remember, I think it was two summers ago, he bought some lures. He went fishing, and he lost the lures. And he was very upset that he lost the lures. And he didn't, like, I don't know if he just didn't understand that happens, that you get snagged on a rock or a wood or a piece of wood or whatnot. But he wanted us to replace all the lures he lost that fishing trip.
He wanted a refund or lures.
Yeah, he wanted, and I'm talking, like, believe he put up an argument.
Lost lures fishing.
Yeah,
you didn't tell him how to tie the car or not. Maybe that was it. You didn't teach him. Yeah,
right. And then you got like customers looking at him like, "Are you serious, man? Like, you went fishing and lost lures, and you want these guys now to replace your whole tackle box because you lost them on trees and rocks and whatnot?" He was very adamant. He was pissed that he lost his lures fishing.
The other big one we get here, which is kind of comical, you'd be amazed at how many people get irate on the phone because we don't sell Bass Pro gift cards or Bass Pro hats.
Oh my God.
Seriously. And then you try to explain to them that we're an independently owned business and have no affiliation with Bass Pro, and it just goes right over their head. We got some good ones. We've had people come back and try and return three worms out of a dozen that they bought. Yeah, or return six minnows out of the scoop.
You're right about having some beers and going deep.
There's never ending. We got some really good stories. I don't know if they're necessarily podcast appropriate, but we've had some good doozies in here. That's for sure.
I'm coming back up, guys. I'm coming back up. Oh God, that's funny. That's funny. Hey Cole, what'd you think of the ugly meat sticks that you tore into 8 seconds after me handing it to you?
I'm a believer. They didn't last very long. I can tell you that.
Right on. Glad to hear.
Yeah. So that's it for me, Frank. I appreciate you guys coming on, and it's great to touch base with you. And I really admire your passion for what you're doing and for angling in general, the sport in general. So I'm sure that gets passed on to every customer that comes in your place.
Awesome. Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
To our listeners, please head over to iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts and leave us a review. It would really help the show. We would appreciate it, Chris and I. And also, if you're a business, small business, big business, medium business, reach out to us. We've got sponsorship packages for every budget, and they pay dividends. We're getting amazing feedback from our sponsors, and we're happy to send you our deck and talk to you about a package that suits your approach to market. It will be seen. Our podcast network, our show is seen by 3.5 million viewers of the Fishing Canada TV show every Saturday, and an untold number of anglers that watch us in the States on the World Fishing Network as well. So tons and tons of exposure there. Thank you guys for listening, and look out for that angling sports giveaway. It is epic. Take it easy, guys.
The Ugly Pike Podcast.
Do you know the name of Canada's one and only specialized pike and muskie shop? It's Izoco, and it's an Esox angler's paradise, offering the very best in hand-picked, top-quality gear, from bait casting to fly fishing, and even specialized Scandinavian tackle. Izoco's staff will provide expert advice and top-quality service. But Izoco is more than just a store. It's a community of passionate anglers that make up the Izoco tribe, and they're always ready to share tips, swap stories. So head over to their shop in person or online at izocofishing.com and let Izoco turn those fishing trips into epic stories.